Say the words African American literature to nearly anyone, and they will definitely think of Toni Morrison and probably think of her novel Beloved. The book was a bestseller when it came out in 1987, has never gone out of print, and is part of the curriculum at countless high schools and colleges. In 2006, a New York Times survey of writers and critics named it the best work of American fiction since 1980. However, the place of Morrison in her fifth novel were not always so certain. Today, we'll tell the story of how Black writers and intellectuals made sure that Toni Morrison's beautiful, haunting novel, Beloved, would be read, taught, and celebrated for decades. You're listening to Remarkable Receptions, a podcast about popular and critical responses to African American novels. Beloved tells the story of Setha, an enslaved woman who flees the Sweet Home Plantation in Kentucky in search of freedom for herself and her children. On the run, Setha gives birth to her daughter Denver and makes her way to Ohio. There, she joins her sons and her two-year-old daughter at the home of Baby Suggs, a Black woman lay preacher who is Setha's mother-in-law. Long after her arrival in Ohio, Setha remains haunted by the loss and violence in her past and by her older daughter, who returns as a ghost named Beloved for the one word on her headstone. Stories of enslavement and escape are an important part of African American literature, from nonfiction slave narratives of the 19th century by Frederick Douglass and Harriet Jacobs, right up through the present in fiction such as Colson Whitehead's 2016 novel, The Underground Railroad. Beloved is one in a group of novels about slavery published in the post-civil rights era. Contemporary narratives of slavery got started in 1966 with Margaret Walker's novel Jubilee, a fictional story based on the real life of Walker's enslaved great-grandmother. There are a few different kinds of contemporary narratives of slavery. Some, like Walker's Jubilee, are historical fiction set during antebellum slavery and its immediate aftermath. Others, like Octavia Butler's 1979 novel, Kindred, and Matt Johnson's 2011 novel, Pym, use speculative fiction to explore the meaning of slavery to Black Americans in the present day. The first wave of these contemporary narratives of slavery, along with Alex Haley's Roots in 1976, and the extremely popular television adaptation of the book in 1977, prepared readers for Beloved by the time it came out in 1987. At the same time, Black women writers had been building a readership of novels like Morrison's for nearly 20 years. 1970 kicked off what scholar Mary Helen Washington calls the Black women writers' renaissance of the 1970s and 80s. 1970 was a big year for Black women writers. Maya Angelou's autobiography, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, had come out in 1969, and in 1970, it was still on the New York Times bestseller list. Books that came out in 1970 include Alice Walker's first novel, The Third Life of Grange Copeland, Morrison's first novel, The Bluest Eye, and Toni Cade Bambara's The Black Woman, an anthology that gathered together various forms of Black feminist writing. Black women had been writing important works since before the United States was a nation, but they were getting much more recognition in the 1970s and 80s than they had in the past. By 1976, Intosaki Shange's For Colored Girls Who Have Considered Suicide, When the Rainbow Is Enough, was in the middle of a successful Broadway run. Even amidst controversies and protests over Alice Walker's 1982 novel, The Color Purple, and Steven Spielberg's 1985 film adaptation of the book, both the book and the movie were popular, especially with Black women. This cultural landscape meant that readers, especially Black readers, were familiar with narratives of slavery and with Black feminist literature by the time Beloved was published.
Toni Morrison, Zora Neale Hurston, Alice Walker, Ralph Ellison, Octavia Butler, Colson Whitehead, and dozens more are featured in our Black Literature Network. Scholars of African American literature, digital humanities scholars, computer scientists, illustrators, graphic designers, voice actors, and sound engineers all contribute to the production of this project.
While working as an editor at Random House in the 1970s, Toni Morrison created The Black Book, a kind of family album full of photographs, obituaries, newspaper clippings, song lyrics, patents, and artwork documenting over 200 years of Black American life. It also included documents of slavery, such as records of sale. It was while working on The Black Book that Morrison first encountered the story of Margaret Garner, an enslaved mother of four who escaped in 1856 with her husband and children, and when slave catchers came for them, chose to kill her two-year-old daughter rather than see the child returned to slavery. A newspaper story about Garner inspired Morrison's Beloved, as well as her work on an opera about Garner years later in 2005. Unlike Margaret Garner, Morrison's protagonist, Setha, survives long after making an impossible and terrifying choice to safeguard her baby against enslavement. Readers meet Setha in 1873 when her two sons have left home and her mother-in-law, Baby Suggs, has passed. Setha and her daughter, Denver, live with a ghost at 124 Bluestone Road in Cincinnati, Ohio. Morrison sets the tone for the novel at the start with two short, arresting sentences.
124 was spiteful, full of a baby's venom.
It's 8 years after the end of the Civil War and a decade after the Emancipation Proclamation. But enslavement is far more than a memory in this novel. Setha explains to Denver that the past lives in the present as something sad and dangerous that one could run into at any moment. Setha speaks for formerly enslaved people's, quote, rememory as a shared trauma, but also specifically of the Sweet Home plantation where she was abused and where her sweet husband Haley lost his mind. 18 years after fleeing the plantation and making sure none of her children would be kidnapped back into enslavement, Setha understands that past violence shapes the present. Her individual experience, her rememory, exists in and beyond her as part of a shared history that defines the United States. Setha tells Denver,
"Some things go, pass on. Some things just stay. I used to think it was my rememory, you know. Some things you forget. Others you never do. But it's not. Places. Places are still there. If a house burns down, it's gone. But the place, the picture of it, stays. And not just in my rememory, but out there in the world. What I remember is a picture floating around out there, outside my head. I mean, even if I don't think it, even if I die, the picture of what I did or knew or saw is still out there, right in the place where it happened. Can other people see it?" asks Denver. "Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, yes. Someday you be walking down the road and you hear something or see something going on. So clear. And you think it's you thinking it up. A thought picture. But no. It's when you bump into a memory that belongs to somebody else. Where I was before I came here, that place is real. It's never going away. Even if the whole farm, every tree and grass blade of it dies, the picture is still there. And what's more, if you go there, you who was never there, if you go there and stand in the place where it was, it will happen again. It will be there for you, waiting for you. So, Denver, you can't go there. Never. Because even though it's all over and done with, it's going to always be there waiting for you. That's how come I had to get all my children out, no matter what. Denver picked at her fingernails. If it's still there, waiting, that must mean nothing ever dies. Setha looked right in Denver's face. Nothing ever does, she said. From Toni Morrison's Beloved.
At the start of 1988, 48 Black writers and intellectuals came together to write an open letter protesting the fact that Toni Morrison had not won the 1987 National Book Award. Poet June Jordan and scholar Houston Baker led the effort, and the signatories included writers Maya Angelou, Amiri Baraka, John Edgar Wideman, and John A. Williams, as well as scholars such as Henry Louis Gates Jr. and activists such as Angela Davis. The letter appeared in the New York Times on January 24, 1988. This was just 2 months after writer James Baldwin's death. The 48 Black writers and intellectuals who signed the letter expressed sorrow and fury that Baldwin had not won a major national writing prize in his lifetime, and they insisted that Morrison receive her long overdue recognition. The letter begins.
Despite the international stature of Toni Morrison, she has yet to receive the national recognition that her 5 major works of fiction entirely deserve. She has yet to receive the Keystone Honors of the National Book Award or the Pulitzer Prize. We, the undersigned Black critics and Black writers, here assert ourselves against such oversight and harmful whimsy.
The letter writers also speak directly to Morrison.
You have advanced the moral and artistic standards by which we must measure the daring and love of our national imagination and our collective intelligence as a people. Your gifts to us have changed and made more gentle our real time together. And so we write, here, hoping not to delay, not to arrive, in any way late with this, our simple tribute to the seismic character and beauty of your writing.
The Times letter shamed the white literary establishment for failing to recognize Morrison. The letter also celebrated and recognized Morrison, declaring that her fellow Black writers were honoring her here and now on their own terms. In April 1988, 4 months after the letter appeared in the Times, Morrison won the Pulitzer Prize for Fiction. She went on to win many other awards, including the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1993 and the Presidential Medal of Freedom from Barack Obama in 2012. Oprah Winfrey produced and starred in a 1998 film adaptation of Beloved, and the novel became a staple of high school and college English classes. Today, Toni Morrison is one of the most widely read, studied, and celebrated American authors. With the publication of Beloved, she came hold a uniquely prominent position in the academic and popular literary imagination. Morrison's fiction is useful, beautiful, and innovative, and a network of Black writers made sure that Toni Morrison and Beloved got a remarkable reception.
This episode was written by Courtney Thorson. The episode was edited by Elizabeth Callie and me, Howard Ramsey.
Remarkable Receptions is part of the Black Literature Network, a joint project from African American Literary Studies at Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville, and the History of Black Writing at the University of Kansas. The project was made possible by the generous support of the Mellon Foundation. For more information, visit blacklitnetwork.org.